Just two quick announcements and then your questions. First, I want to make sure everybody knows the joyful news that Paula Parker Sawyers and her group have left Kenya and are en route. She and her son Patrick will be back at the airport late this afternoon. And so there have been a lot of prayers headed that direction, and we're so very glad that this great woman and public servant is going to be back safely with us by tonight. Secondly, I wanted to let everyone know that I called Chairman Bill Crawford this morning to thank him for his invitation to come testify on property tax reduction on January 16th, and to accept that invitation. It's the first time I've done so. It might be the last. I didn't do it lightly, because I think it's a precedent that you don't want to lightly set. But this is a unique situation of special importance to taxpayers and therefore to me, and so I decided to break with past practice and make this exception. I really appreciate the chairman's making the opportunity possible.
Governor, this week there's going to be a lot more talk about just repealing property taxes on homesteads.
Uh-huh.
And I know that you considered that as part of your plan.
Yeah.
I just wonder what you thought about that and why you decided that part wasn't possible.
Yeah. I still think it's a great goal to have. I could not find a formula that I thought was responsible in terms of not raising other taxes too much, particularly things that might hurt the economy. But I salute the spirit of it, and if the legislature can gather a majority for a way to do it now, I'd be happy to work with them on that. I met with those who are still hopeful of doing it in one step as opposed to maybe two, as I'm thinking about. And really told them I'd look at about anything, with the exception of an increase in the income tax, which I would be very, very strong in disagreeing with because of its effect on working families, small business, and the economy generally.
Does that include local income tax?
No, the idea here would be, and it would have to be a significant increase in the state income tax, which to me is something we really should avoid, especially now when the national economy may be softening. But as a general rule, I think this is a bad idea for Indiana working families and for the economy. But anything else, and they had a lot of other at least ideas in theory, and I congratulate him for some creative thinking. We'll wait and see if they can come up with something that can get a majority.
Some of those other options include expanding sales tax to other services. Can you elaborate your thoughts on that? There's some services you're more willing to consider than others. I know it's been a problem this year.
I just say that with the single exception of holding the line on income taxes, I'm willing to listen to other options. I didn't feel that was a good idea or an idea that I wanted to advance. But I've said all along that this has to be a bipartisan effort, and that I think I'm duty-bound to keep an open mind with regard to almost any questions, so I will on that one.
Why did you think it was not a good idea?
I think it would... I just say that I didn't find it one that I thought could command a majority of support, and one that I think would raise hundreds of questions that I haven't certainly thought through. When you start to consider the huge range of services that would then be taxed, there could be fairness questions and others. So, but I'm open-minded about it, and those who are proposing this may have done more research and thinking about it than I've been able to.
If the math would work on abolishing just the residential property tax, would you be okay with retaining the property tax on business while repealing it for residences?
Yes, in theory. I mean, there are good questions that can be raised about it, but I've said, and our plan makes very plain, that I see a special status around home ownership. It's the American dream, the core of it. And I have no problem that, for instance, providing greater protection through a lower, a 1% cap. So, in theory, that doesn't offend me.
Speaker Bauer said repeatedly he thinks you need to sell your plan better. How will you try to do that in the State of the State Address, and will you be doing things after the State of the State Address in the public?
Sure. I mean, I gave a speech on statewide television. I've been traveling the state and will again. The State of the State Address will be overwhelmingly dedicated to this subject, and we are talking with taxpayer groups and other potential allies about encouraging and assisting their public advocacy. So I think he's right, but I think the plan is doing very well, by the way. I think there's a very strong positive response, and I think that's reflected in the progress the legislature's already made. But I take the point, and I will do all I can. I really believe in this plan, and I believe we have a huge opportunity here. This is the biggest tax cut in Indiana history, if we can see it through, by a long margin. And so, of course, I'll do all I can to try to make it happen.
Governor, how important is the speech to selling this plan? And second question, do you think there'll be your re-election chances would be hurt if something significant doesn't get done?
On the speech, I hope it is a good opportunity, because I'm looking for every opportunity not just to advocate this plan, but help explain it to folks who are still looking at the details. So I hope it's well watched and widely reported, and give the best speech I can give. And I really don't know about the, haven't thought much about the hereafter, except I've said before that I think that failure to pass a major tax cut here is simply not an option to me. But I think that anyone who failed to do his or her duty and perform in this situation, legislators or me, would be held to account for it and should.
You wrote your speech way back in the Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Have you changed it to reflect some of the changing nature of the data from the legislature?
Not materially. I look at it every couple days and tweak a little something here, a little there, but this one hasn't moved very much from where it was a few weeks ago.
You mentioned that you're talking with taxpayer groups.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those groups are the ones who are the biggest voices for the repeal. Have you found that any of them are willing to back off of their repeal demands in order to back your plan?
I don't want to speak for them, but I think that their position has been a very supportive one. They understand that I have the same objective they do, to see how much we can reduce property taxes, that I accept as a good goal, at least long term, the residential property tax elimination. And certainly many have said to me, one as recently as just last night, that they do like our plan. They are hopeful of going further and doing so right now. It's just not clear that that's practical, but it's been, a very cordial relationship.
Governor, there are bills that were introduced in both the House and Senate to allow bars and taverns the right to have paper pool tabs or sort of smaller paper gambling, mm-hmm. to keep up with the fraternal clubs and things like that. They argued they don't want cherry masters anymore, and mm-hmm. they're hurt by smoking bans. How would you feel about that?
I'd take a look at it.
Are you concerned that that would be seen as a large expansion?
If the legislature felt it was acceptable, I'd certainly take a look at it. You know, all I was firmly against was illegal gambling and being asked to look the other way and not enforce the law. We didn't think that was consistent with our oath of office. And so it's true that very large number of illegal and very exploitative, by the way, unregulated machines have come out, hundreds of them, if not thousands. But if the legislature decides to legalize some variation, I'd sure take a look.
Governor, Northwest Indiana lawmakers have been fretting for a while about what kind of tax hike they would propose for South Shore expansion. Representative Davis issued a proposal yesterday that kind of gets around that by just saying, let's take state sales tax money. He's compared it to the Colt Stadium, but Marion and the Donut Counties were willing to raise the food and beverage tax. Are you worried that this sets up a precedent where local officials coming to the state and saying, we don't want to put any of our own skin in the game, but how about giving us some money for this project we think is pretty worthwhile?
Well, I want to, in fairness, I want to see Chet's plan. He's coming by to talk about it, so I'll just answer in general by way of saying that if the citizens, through their representatives in Northwest Indiana or somewhere else, want to undertake a local project and pay for it, I'm a home rule person, and I am inclined to be supportive. And that is what happened in the case of the stadium. It was a cardinal rule, as you'll recall with us, that no one, no other Hoosier other than those in the area that would benefit from the convention center would pay for it. So if it violates that principle, I'd probably have problems.
State for a second. Should we expect any new initiatives, either on property taxes or anything else?
Yes, but fewer than in any previous year, because I've got one great big thing on my mind now, being that being the largest tax cut in state history. I will mention almost parenthetically at least one other subject, but this will be the shortest of the speeches I've given and certainly the most focused.
Nothing new on property taxes itself.
Oh, sorry, no, huh? You know, then I like the plan we have, and I like the progress it's making. And so that's where my that's what the speech will deal with.
Will you make another pitch for part-time
environment? No. There's not room for it at this time. Also the point, of course, is not about that's the means. The end is what would you do with the funds? And I'm visiting with a lot of people about a reshaped proposal for the reinvestment of any money we captured. And I expect to make that during the course of 08 and to work on it if we get a chance to do so next year.
Do you have any preference, or do you have a preference in the Republican caucus?
I don't.
Play no role?
Nope. That's for the party to decide.
Can you give us an update on the state's efforts to help the flood victims?
Yes, the situation report as of 7 o'clock last night and updated this morning is that we have no more, as they say, level one counties, that is to say the most severe restrictions on travel and other activity have been lifted. I'm convinced from all reports and my on-the-ground travel in two or three counties up there that, first of all, local responders did a great job. That the cooperation between state and local responders was, as far as I know, excellent in every case. And as always, Hoosiers came to each other's aid. Everywhere I went, I heard the same story. We have more volunteers than we can handle or can use. Cresting probably not till this weekend, and so we're going to have people still in shelters and possibly for a while, but we have ample space for that. And we're beginning the business of tallying the and cataloging the damage. We expect to make an appeal for federal assistance across a very wide area. And I'd be very confident, rather, that it's going to be accepted.
That hasn't formally been done yet?
No, and it takes a little while. The mistake not to make is to leave something out. So we will take some time to try to make sure we have documented all the damage, and there is plenty of it, obviously. And so, but we want to do a thorough job of that, and make certain we get a yes in every respect.
Are we using any of the state disaster relief fund money that we put together when the legalized fireworks were like this, or for instance, the tornadoes that did not get the federal assistance?
We very well may. That's why I wanted such a fund created. It's not enormous yet, but it's growing, has close to $3 million in it. And for the first time, Indiana does have a backstop now, some resource of our own. We have to be careful how we use it. It'll, we're certainly looking at that possibility.
Can you give us any additional information at all about the new jobs that you hinted at yesterday in your speech?
There are a lot of them. No, in deference to the company and its wishes, it'll be a little while before that announcement occurs, but it's we're working on these things all the time, and major job, new jobs announcements, I'm happy to say, have been fairly customary in Indiana the last few years, and we're always working on the next one. The next one's not far off.
Can you discuss even what general area of the economy it fits in?
No, I think I better not.
These be 2007 jobs or 2008 jobs, given your tally of job totals?
They may well have been counted in the 07 tally, even though the announcement needs to wait. Came right around the end. The agreement came right near the end of the year.
What do you hope to accomplish before Ways and Means? Is this a chance to explain it? Is there an explanation that's still needed? Or are you more trying to persuade enough people to vote for it? How do you view that testimony?
I'm there to do what the committee and Chairman Crawford want, so I expect most of our time will be spent not in some oration from me, but in answering questions. I think that committee understands thoroughly the bill's intentions, and so I won't take a lot of their time going back over that. I'm just very, very grateful that they took it up as their starting point and that they've been working off of it, and that he's given me this chance to come answer any questions that they may have. And this issue is important enough, I'm glad to do that.
On eliminating the homestead property taxes, mm-hmm. There's all kinds of borrowing based on.
Yeah.
Is that one of the hurdles or concerns you couldn't get past when you looked at it?
There are very, very real practical problems, but to be honest, I didn't reach them because I got stuck at the fact you'd have to raise too many other taxes. Raising one tax, 1 cent, and then going beyond that through returning some of the state surplus to taxpayers, going beyond that by putting caps as protection for those worst hit, I felt was acceptable. Taxing other things, raising other taxes at the same time, I thought raised questions that I couldn't resolve myself, particularly about the possible damage to our economy. But you're quite right there. Even if you resolve those questions, there's some good ones to be answered about the effect on local government and its financing.
And how realistic a goal is this? You described it as a good goal. Mm-hmm. You said it was like step two. But
yeah.
It doesn't sound to me like you're ever getting to step two here realistically.
Well, no state has done it, so it's not easy. I don't think we should, as Hoosiers, anymore. We don't allow the fact that something hasn't been done deter us from having a look these days. And so that's not a stopper to me. I like for us to be first, and we're starting to be first in some things. But I'll just say that as my most careful thought on this subject says it's a goal we would bring much nearer if we could place the kind of ceilings on spending, local spending growth that we have proposed. And a few years of that might bring you to the point where you could take the final step and eliminate property taxes altogether on the homesteads. I could not find a formula for doing that all at one time right now. If the legislature comes together around a plan like that, then let's have a look. I couldn't find
it. Why should it be the goal to eliminate homestead property taxes rather than have them be reasonable and part of a balanced tax system?
It's a very fair question. It's much like Bill's. I'm just going to leave that where it is. I want to go as far as we can practically now, and I think that's what our plan does. You know, it's a reasonably, I think it's fair to call it an ambitious goal to cut net taxes in Indiana by close to $1 billion. By a huge margin, the biggest tax cut we've ever considered in this state. And if you could do that with the limits and controls that we have suggested, or something like them, then you might make the day possible when you could take a further step.
Would you find a few years before the end of your second term? Is this something you might run on?
I just don't know the answer to that. Yeah. Let's see if we can take step one first.
You say that so you obviously have to have something done. You want lawmakers to do something. Is there a threshold that you want them to meet before you would say call them back for a second step? What threshold do they have to cross?
I can't answer that question right now, Kevin. I think we've got a great chance. And, you know, taxpayers had a great week this week. Progress was made on referenda on expensive borrowing projects. Progress was made on cleaning up professionalizing assessment in Indiana. Progress is being made across the board on this, on a very ambitious plan for the biggest tax cut we've ever seen. So I'm not even thinking about coming up short of that. I think we're headed for a huge win for taxpayers. Thank you all.